This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. We begin with a political story right here in the state of Massachusetts. I'm today broadcasting from the studios of partner station WGBH in Boston. And between now and Election Day, we will be looking at races and ballot measures around the country, traveling in some cases to communities around the U.S., your communities where you hear the program, to see firsthand how the issues are playing. But for voters here in Massachusetts, aside from the tense Senate race between Democrat Elizabeth Warren and Republican Scott Brown, there is question two. You may not have heard about it. It's a ballot question that would legalize physician-assisted suicide. The measure referred to by proponents as the Death with Dignity measure is under fire from the Catholic Church and a number of other groups who are concerned about the possibility of its being abused. It is this issue we explore now. My guest is Reverend Tim Kutzmark, who's a Unitarian Universalist minister in Reading, Massachusetts. Welcome to the program.
It's an honor and pleasure to be here, John.
I should disclose that as a man with a disability who might have thought differently about this issue years ago, I find myself concerned about the state weighing in on quality of life issues like this. So I just want to disclose to our listeners that I'm opposed to question two, but let's explore the issue. What's your connection with this ballot measure, question two?
Well, it's interesting because when I was in seminary at Harvard Divinity School, I had an ethics course with a great ethicist by the name of Arthur Dyke. And one of the questions that we had to write on was physician-assisted suicide, death with dignity. And I wrote this impassioned paper against the idea of physician-assisted suicide, and some of it based on the research coming out of the Netherlands where the physicians became very sketchy. They admitted to taking lives without permission, partly because of where my own religious faith was at that point, and also because of, at that time, a belief in the power of palliative care, that no one did die in pain or agony. My position has really shifted over time, in part because as a minister, once I got out into the parish, once I started to work with people and families who were dying and saw people in such pain, worked with folks who might have Lou Gehrig's disease or Parkinson's disease, I saw the other side of the story. I saw people suffering and suffering in ways that could have been eliminated if that person chose so.
Now, my concern about this is that the notion that if the state, as a matter of convention, sort of decides there are conditions in life that we all agree are not worth living, that plants a seed in the mind of someone and suggests, and I used to get this after my accident and became a spinal cord injured male, people would say, I suppose you've thought about suicide. And I would say to myself, well, no, I actually haven't thought about suicide, even though I suppose you could make an argument that if you could no longer use your legs or were paralyzed, something like that, it would just be too miserable to want to live. But once in that situation, I didn't have that feeling. But people asked me enough that I thought to myself, maybe I should be thinking about suicide. Maybe that would be normal. And then as time went on, people with much more severe disabilities than myself would ask me questions like, should I just end it all because I'm a burden to people? Clearly, the idea had been planted in their mind. And if they'd only been more part of a community where people were trying to help them and assist in their quality of life, maybe they wouldn't have thought of that as an option. So I'm concerned if the state gets involved in something like this.
I think that the parameters around the death with dignity question, though, is they're very tight. They're for folks who are diagnosed with a terminal illness where death is expected within 6 months. So yes, there's always that fear of a slippery slope. If you allow one thing, what can follow after that? But I think life today is pretty much on a slippery slope on almost any issue that we're living in. There's no sort of firm foundation. And that slippery slope was used as an argument, against abortion. The slippery slope is used against sort of gay marriage. I mean, if we allow the gay marriage, then people will be marrying their pets. And, as a minister,
I guess
that hasn't happened.
I guess my concern, though, is do we equate control with dignity? Dignity at our peril. I mean, in a sense, we are human beings that don't have control. We like to think that we have control. And, yes, if someone is in the last stages of life and as a personal decision wants to end their life, I don't want to stand in their way. I'm just concerned with the state creating categories that suggest this is obviously a life not worth living.
I don't think it's saying this is not a life worth living. What it's saying is if you as an individual determine that the fate that awaits you is so painful and so difficult and there's going to be no redeeming value mm-hmm. to suffering, to what will be an inevitable end, they're saying you have as an individual the right to take medication to end that suffering.
Don't we have that option anyway without the state getting involved? I mean, can't you just make a deal with your doctor and your minister without the state saying it's okay for you to do this?
Absolutely. There's a whole underground network.
Right.
But it's illegal. Mm-hmm. So even as a minister having that conversation with congregants, and I certainly have, there's this shroud of secrecy and shame, and there's the fear that at any moment you could say or do something that you could be arrested.
Do you remember a person whose experience you witnessed?
Oh, yeah.
Who really turned you around on this?
A dear friend of mine, and some folks who are listening may know him. His name is Arthur Friedman. And he was well-known in the Boston area. He was a respected theater critic for The Real Paper and the Boston Herald. He was a Shakespearean scholar, taught at the University of Massachusetts, beloved professor, and a mentor and a father figure to me. He was diagnosed with Parkinson's and lived for 15 years with great dignity and strength. Towards the end of his life, though, he ended up without anything because all of his money went to hiring home aides so that he would mm-hmm. be able to stay in the home. His last days were so difficult and painful. He ended up in a terrible nursing home. I can remember visiting him, and he was sitting in the wheelchair in urine-soaked pants. And I thought there were several months where this brilliant man, this man with dignity and incredible wisdom, had to simply sit in despair.
And this measure would have avoided.
This measure would have let Arthur make a choice.
And it's meaningful that and other experiences like it really turned you around because you came from a very different position. Before we go, do you think it'll pass?
You know, I'll tell you what I find fascinating is how little engagement there is around this issue. I was at a minister's meeting 2 weeks ago, and I said, so are you folks going to be preaching on this? None of the ministers around the table even knew it was on the ballot. So I think at the last moment, there's a lot of talk about it. I don't know. I hope so. But at least there's open conversation happening.
Well, and happening right here on The Takeaway, question two is on the ballot in Massachusetts. As you've heard on the program, I'm opposed, but Reverend Kutzmark is supporting the measure. It's one of the issues on the ballot here in Massachusetts. Reverend Tim Kutzmark is a Unitarian Universalist minister in Reading, Massachusetts. Thanks so much.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you, John.
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.